Welcome to Hype episode 115. My name is Selena. I have Pam with me for another super exciting show about this week's news. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Like, hello in the studio, even though we were just talking.
I know. It's like we just got here.
I know. Hype is, of course, HypeBubble.com's podcast, all about the latest entertainment news with theories and discussion and analysis and all that good stuff. We will be talking about some of the recently premiered movies and TV shows, as well as discuss some of the biggest news stories, including the Emmys and, of course, the biggest news story of all time, the Patronus Quiz. Oh my God, I cannot wait to talk about that. Before we do, we just want to remind you of the contact information as always. If you want to leave comments on this show or anything you want us to talk about, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us @hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr @hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Instagram @hypeablehype. And you can, of course, find us on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. You can leave a comment in the podcast post. Deep breath. Okay, I'm ready. So, how are you, Pam?
I'm doing great. Just waiting for you to, you know, catch your breath. It's like the workout, the contact information.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's another fun week in pop culture. How are you
absolutely
doing?
Absolutely. I'm good. I'm great. I'm super tired, but super excited about all the fandom stuff that we have to talk about this week. And of course, what we're going to start with, as always, is How We Hype, where we tell you what we've been doing over the past week. We've both seen movies, and I'm going to let Pam go first because I still need to catch my breath a little bit, and also because, you know, chronologically, yours is first.
Yeah, I mean, Zootopia came out a while ago, but I wanted to bring it up because it just got added to Netflix. So you can stream it on Netflix if you have not had a chance to see it. I saw it for the second time with my family who had not seen it last night. And it's so good, you guys. It's just so funny and heartwarming. And the message is like lovely, of course, because it's Disney. But it's just really great. So if you have not seen it yet, I highly recommend that you check it out. Put it on your Netflix queue and, you know, watch it. Although I'm sure everybody has already seen it because I feel like our listeners are very up to date with like the ins and outs of Disney. But just in case you've been putting it off for some reason, it's definitely worth a watch.
It's so good. I watched it when I was going to Comic-Con. It was very, very cute.
Wasn't it? So funny is like I guess the message behind the movie was not spoiled for me before I saw it the first time. So I had really no idea what I was walking into. And seeing it that way was like, it was a very interesting experience because I think it just like, it packed a more powerful punch. So that's a fun little anecdote. But yeah, it's still great. And I loved it the second time too. Still laughed at all the jokes and all that stuff. Aww.
Yeah, that's awesome. So my movie is very current in that I don't think it's out in cinemas yet. So I'm not going to talk that much about it. I just wanted to say I went to see Deepwater Horizon at an early screening. And it was something. Like, it was a spectacle for sure. Part of me, like, even before I saw the movie, kind of felt like it's too close. Like, it's like a disaster movie about something. Because obviously it's about the Deepwater Horizon that, what's the word? Broke is the wrong word. It blew up, basically, 6 years ago and caused a giant oil spill and a huge natural disaster.
Oh yeah, the BP oil spill movie.
Exactly.
I keep forgetting that's the name. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's you know, Mark Wahlberg stars and then he does a fantastic job, and it's just when you have an event that was that close, I always think it's a little bit iffy to dramatize it and play up the quote unquote excitement of it all. But I mean, the reason I wanted to bring it up here is because I wanted to say that Gina Rodriguez is in this movie and she is amazing. Like, she is so good. I know she's also going to be in the movie Annihilation, which is that sort of awesome, like, women explorer movie with Natalie Portman and Oscar Isaac and other people. So very, very – she was just mind-blowing and I just – wanted to say that she deserves to be like a massive movie star, and I hope this is like just the beginning for her with more roles like this.
I really love her a lot, and I'm glad that everybody else does too. I think like for me specifically, because I don't ever really talk about like my ethnic background, but I am like my family is Latino, and growing up there were not a lot of Latino movie stars, TV stars, anything like that. I mean, all of the people that I saw that like looked like me were on like telenovelas. So it's really nice to see somebody like her, America Ferrera, all of these young stars, Eva Longoria, like anybody like that kind of make it and become bigger. And it's just, I don't know, it's just like a really nice time when like in, you know, television and stuff where you see people like that represented. So I'm always like really happy to see her doing more. And I remember seeing her in this movie, Philly Brown, which starred the late Jenny Rodriguez, who, no, Jenny Rivera. I'm so sorry. Jenny Rivera, who is a huge, huge singer in Mexico, who died in a plane crash a couple of years ago. And she was like riveting even in that. That was like over in like the indie movie scene. But I think you can stream it on Netflix if you're interested in watching something that she did, Jane the Virgin. So
what was the name of that?
It's called Philly Brown.
Ah,
okay. And she's an aspiring rapper.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Philly Brown. I was reading up on that actually, because I was like, I need to watch everything she's ever been in. Yeah. And it looks actually really good. I'm gonna check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely do.
But so that was a Deepwater Horizon from me, and Zootopia for Pam. And I just also wanted to say this weekend is actually the Copenhagen Comic Con, which I'm going to go check out tomorrow.
I was going to say, are you? Yeah. Hey, look.
Yeah, man.
You're living it up in Copenhagen.
Yes, I am. And actually, it's a little bit annoying because Alicia Debnam-Carey is attending from The 100. And I was trying to get an interview, but she's apparently not doing interviews, which my theory is she is, but just with like, quote unquote, real outlets. So I'm going to be keeping an eye out for that and get really annoyed if that is indeed the case. But I will be interviewing a few stars, because there's not a lot of people coming to Copenhagen Comic Con. And to my other annoyance, no Danish stars like Nikolaj Coster-Waldau or Mads Mikkelsen or anyone like that is coming. But there are a couple of Supernatural like recurring characters. I'm interviewing Emily Swallow, who played Amara, and I'm interviewing Carrie Ingram, who played obviously Shireen Baratheon. And I'm debating asking her like whether she thinks it's okay that I really hated her death scene, because it's haunted me ever since that episode, and I wrote that article that everyone were like so mad about, where I was like, this is the worst, like they cannot do this, this is horrible. So I probably won't bring that up to her, but she is 17, so it's not, you know.
I feel like she's going to be very diplomatic, similar to how Sophie Turner was with the whole like rape situation, but I feel like it'll make you feel better to get her final say. I feel like I
need, it's like closure, you know, I feel like I need to tell her.
I feel that. But, you know, like on a completely different like spectrum to this situation, I'm very interested, like when you return from Copenhagen Comic Con, to hear how it's different from San Diego and like your experience. Yes. And stuff like that. So that should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to check it out. I have a feeling that it's actually probably a lot more like old school Comic Con, you know, with actual comics and stuff, because there aren't a lot of actors there. So it's more about the actual fandom, which is going to be interesting. Anyway, I will report back next show. I just wanted to let you guys know, because I'm pretty excited about it. Moving on to news now, we have an interesting lineup, and we're going to start with the biggest story of the week. I debated whether it was the Emmys or Patronus quiz, but knowing our audience, I'm going to go with the Patronus quiz. I hope I guessed correctly. So if you somehow haven't noticed, the Harry Potter fandom is invigorated by the long-awaited Patronus quiz by J.K. Rowling that launched on Pottermore.com. You can go and you answer a bunch of sort of questions, or it's like either or, like light or dark or warm or cold or leaf or tree or whatever. And then you are led to your Patronus. And these Patronuses, like, we have a list on Hyperwool that's almost 150 animals. It's everything from different breeds of cats and dogs to rhinoceroses and dolphins and dragons and hippogriffs and everything. You can pretty much get any animal that you can imagine. Although I've seen most people, and this is probably just because there are so many different breeds, but I've seen a lot of people get cats and dogs. That's like the most noticeable Same. One.
But didn't she say in the writing that cats and dogs were like, not generic is the wrong word, but like most common? That's the phrase I was looking for. Mm. Like they're most
probably
common.
Because we are exposed to them so much and, you know, that they kind of live within us, if you will. She did, it's good you brought it up. She did release some writing about Patronuses and she talked a little bit about how oftentimes if you get a Patronus that you really don't understand, like you're really not meant to because it represents something deep inside yourself or some fear you have to overcome that you haven't necessarily been in touch with. And it's kind of like you can maybe, if you want to, like use this to sort of look inside yourself and find something that maybe you didn't expect. And she also had, it was kind of a funny note, if you got like your favorite animal, it could actually be like a sign of like eccentricity or obsession. So if you look at something like Harry getting a stag or Snape getting a doe, obviously... Or snake? Did I say snake? I mean snake.
snake getting a doe.
Snake getting a doe. that sort of an obsession, that obsession being love, obviously. And Tonks getting a werewolf and stuff like that. So interesting, such interesting stuff. But I am very curious. First of all, we will share our results. And then we have some result from our listeners too. That actually some of them have the same results as us, which is pretty random. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So Pam, what was yours?
Well, I got a dolphin, and I'm pleased with it, actually. And funnily enough, Merrima got a dolphin, too.
I know.
So this just further proves that we were clearly, you know, separated by continents for years and
then
to meet.
That's crazy. I don't feel left out at all.
You know, I'm really sad that you didn't get a dolphin, because then we could have been a podcasting pod of dolphins, and now we're not. So you ruined
it. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
I feel awful now. Thanks, Pam. Actually, like, I wanted to say we had a listener who had a dolphin as well, and it was Bobby Incognito, which I just realized probably isn't his real last name. He said, I guess it could have been worse, which is true. It definitely could have. I'm very mad. I got a Parn Martin, which one of our listeners got as well. And this is like, you know, kind of like in the otter family. I got this result. I was like very confused. I was expecting a cat. I don't know what was going on. But then I realized that this is the Patronus that J.K. Rowling said she had. So I was like, oh my God, I have J.K. Rowling's Patronus. And I was like running around virtually on Twitter being all excited. And then someone was like, actually, she got a new Patronus. So she apparently took the quiz again, even though it explicitly says on Pottermore that you can't take the quiz again. And she has a heron now. And I'm trying not to take it personally, but it's very hard because what the heck? And this was pointed out because I share my Patronus with our listener, Jamie Frazier. And he said, you know, I feel a bond with woodland creatures and Pantalaimon. So I'm good with this. And Pantalaimon, of course, is Lyra's daemon from His Dark Materials. So it's still pretty
cool.
I'm still very happy with it. And it's related to otters and weasels. And Jill Sweden has a weasel, by the way. So that's kind of cool. And obviously, I love the Weasley family. So it's all good. It's pretty cool.
Did you look up, like, Pine Martins and try and figure out if it fit, like, your personality or something like that? Because I feel like that, well, when I got a dolphin, I was like, oh, it was so funny. Like, my reaction was great because when I was younger, I did, like, I loved, like, that was, like, my favorite part of going to, like, the zoo or anywhere was, like, going to see the dolphins. And, like, my grandparents would always take me to see the dolphins, like, since I was, like, you know, barely old enough to walk. So I thought it was just kind of fitting because of that. And they would, like, always buy me, like, little dolphin figurines and things. And I've, like, grown out of that obsession. But when I got it, I was like, of course. And then I was like, Pam, it's just a quiz. But it also was, like, a lot deeper meaning. That's really nice. So it worked out really well in my case. And I didn't really have to, like, look up you know, things about dolphins, but for other people, I'm sure that, like, I saw a lot of people saying, like, oh, then I looked up my animal, and I was like, of course, but, like, this makes a little bit more sense to me. Specifically people that got cats. Like, we got a lot of, like, cat haters that, like, ended up getting cats. But I was talking to my friend Andrea, who was on our Cursed Child script special, and she was like, I'm allergic to cats. I don't like cats. I've never met a cat I don't trust them. And I said, but cats do not trust all people.
Right, exactly.
So you are actually more cat-like than you thought.
Mm-hmm. So it's true. I've seen some people, I think Caitlin from Hyperball reacted like that as well. And it's like, well, you know, you can still have cats are solitary animals. So if you know, you feel that way, probably makes sense. But I was actually like, I can't find a lot about the personality of a pine marten. But I know they like to live in forests, which I feel like I identify with. And they live in trees, and I chop down trees, so there's that. And but they do sort of, to mark their territory, they deposit feces everywhere. I don't feel like I, you know, do that, but other than that, it's pretty interesting. I've never even considered that could be my Patronus, so it's pretty fun. It's kind of like,
you're both woodland creatures, so
yes we are. And it's kind of, you know, I think it's kind of the same as your horoscope, you know, like you can find meaning in something if you really want to, and it can sort of help you identify some things within yourself. But it's not actually true. So I like it for that. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting way to self analyze.
Yeah. It's kind of like that three characters that define you thing that was going around all week.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And we were all like, me and Merma and Pam were actually all trying to do that internally, because I don't think any of us really felt comfortable sort of being like on Twitter, like, this is me.
I just feel like it was so self gratifying to be like, oh, I'm like this person that everyone loves, but I don't want to, like,
project
that. So I didn't share mine, but I thought about it a lot more after our conversation.
Yeah, and no shade to anyone who did share.
No.
But I just feel like I would share, like, think of three people that would not share. I am those three characters.
Yeah, exactly. We're too, like, self-conscious, I guess.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Exactly.
But if you're not, like, all the more power to you.
Exactly. Actually, it would be pretty fun to share them on here, but I do just want to read the rest of the tweets first that we got that had Patronuses.
Abby said, I got a wild cat and I love it. My friend who got a field mouse is less satisfied, however. I love how many options there are.
And the lady Ash says, I got a hyena. Not sure how I feel about it. I like to laugh. Shrug. Also, interesting.
Fernanda said, I got a white stallion. Not bad, but I would prefer a more tropical animal. Lol. And I think Fernanda's from Brazil, right? She's our Brazilian listener.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that I could see why she'd want a more tropical animal.
White stallion, that's amazing though. And Chloe Bitter says, I got a black and white cat. I have been saying for years that my Patronus is a cat, so I'm happy. I'm happy for you. That would have been nice with a cat. Oh, cool. But no, I want to know, Pam, what was that? What three, because we all helped each other. So it was more like navel gazing, like at each other's navels, but not in a gross way, than at our own.
So what did we
decide on for you?
Well, so when we talked about it, you and Merrima helped me decide that I was a part Rory Gilmore, which makes a lot of sense. Part Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec, and part Veronica Mars, which I, you know, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes, this is perfect for you. Like, I feel like Leslie Knope in particular, but the other two for sure. What do we land on for me? I know that I sorted myself as Liz Lemon. I was pretty much like, whatever else you picked, like, it's just Liz Lemon. Like, there's no one else.
That was one of ours for you, and we decided Buffy, right? We said Liz Lemon, Buffy, and who else? We had one more for you. Well, while I look this up on
Lorelei?
Was it Lorelei? Oh, yeah, Lorelei, right, because you were my mom. That's right. Yeah, we did.
That's just
and then
felt
you decided
right,
that my honorable mention was Girlin.
Oh, yeah, like Merlin, but a girl.
Merlin, but a girl. And Merima's, for those of you who were wondering, we decided she was Daria from MTV's hit animated series. April Ludgate from Parks and Rec and Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl. So
snappy brunettes is pretty much her MO. But I just want to say, by the way, for the record, I somewhat disagree with the Buffy pick. I think she's way too awesome, but we do share the same love of stupid puns.
I think she's your spirit warrior.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's my Patronus. Yeah, exactly. Buffy's your Patronus.
See, that works. That's great. So those were our Patronuses, and we would love to hear any other insight that you guys have, or if you just want to share yours or talk about if it fits or if it doesn't fit. You can do that in all the usual ways, and we will discuss it on the next show. But for now, we're going to go into something slightly different.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Emmys. The Emmys were last Sunday, so basically a week from when you'll be listening to this. And funnily enough, I feel like it's not a big deal because the award shows have kind of been slowly dwindling in terms of viewers. But the big story coming out of this was that they had the lowest like views of like any Emmy ceremony that has happened within the past, you know, couple of years. So that was kind of unfortunate. But I thought that Jimmy Kimmel did a pretty good job hosting personally. I thought he was pretty funny. I was not expecting much from him. So I think that he far and wide superseded my expectations. There were some pretty big winners. The few that I was really, really excited about were Rami Malek, who won Outstanding Lead Actor for his work on Mr. Robot, and his speech was absolutely adorable. You should go check it out. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for the fifth time in a row for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series, and she had a really heartfelt acceptance speech because her father just passed away. So she was, of course, very, very emotional. The biggest win of the night is probably Tatiana Maslany, who finally won for all of her wonderful work on Orphan Black. She won Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series, and I think everybody was so happy for her. And then some other people that were really, it was really nice to see up there winning was Jeffrey Tambor for the Amazon Transparent. And Brittany talked about this on our TV special, and it was like the one show she was super excited to see come back this season. So if you're interested in hearing more about what she thinks about this show, you can go check out her thoughts on our TV special. I have not watched it, and I don't know. Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of traction. So, and his speech was wonderful. He talked about how he really hopes that, you know, he said something like, if I were the last basically like straight male to play a transgender woman, I'd be happy, or, you know, that was a really nice sentiment. I think that it really touched a lot of people. And then, most adorable acceptance speech of the night, in my opinion, goes to Kate McKinnon, who won Outstanding Supporting Actress for her work on SNL. So,
yay.
Yeah.
That's so cute. And Tatiana Maslany's win was just awesome because she deserves it so much.
Yeah, so those are some highlights. I mean, there's so many great winners, actually, this year. Sarah Paulson won for The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Aziz Ansari won for Master of None. It's like, you should really, like, take a look at the people that won, because I think overall, despite the fact that there were a lot of things that won multiple awards, like, a lot of, like, very deserving people won for the first time. So that was really nice to see. Yeah. It's always really nice to see when they get, recognized like that.
And it's such a nice antidote. I notice a lot of people saying this on social media, that the Emmys, just like television in general, is far ahead of movies when it comes to things like diversity. It's nice to see the Emmys sort of being the antithesis. I've never said that word out loud. I just realized. Anyway, to the Oscars that received so much flack because so much diversity in all forms was recognized at the Emmys.
And and Jimmy Kimmel referenced, he had a couple of very good digs at Hollywood diversity in his opening monologue. So if you haven't seen that, that's probably worth a watch as well.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So moving on to some more regular news, we received the first trailer for Transparent. No, sorry. Wow. For Passengers this week. And Passengers is the upcoming space movie that I like to call Titanic in Space with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt, who are the only two conscious people aboard a space vessel that's traveling towards a distant planet with a 1,000 and something settlers on board. And Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt's passengers wake up early and they sort of, they have a love story, like they slowly fall in love and go on dates and stuff, but there's also something really terrifying happening that it turns out there's like the end of the trailer sort of ends on the line of Chris Pratt's character going like, there's a reason we woke up early, and you're like, oh my god, did he know all along? And it's all very sort of intriguing, and I've seen a lot of people sort of have mixed reactions to this trailer. I don't know if you've seen it. I thought it was great. I'm super intrigued.
I'm into it. I totally understand what all of the you know, directors have been, well, what the director has been saying about the chemistry, the palpable chemistry between Lawrence yeah. and Pratt. And I love that. I think it's so fun. I think you were spot on with your prediction that this is going to be Titanic in space. I think it's great.
At some point, she literally goes, "You die, I die." And exactly. I was waiting for the jack.
I know. You know, the thing is I don't think I thought that the spaceship was going to be as elaborate as it was. I thought it was just going to be like really like, I don't know, just plain. But
yeah,
I can see how like the spaceship will be like a character almost in and of itself just because of like how grandiose it is. Just not what I was expecting.
Me neither. And that's like because I kind of feel like whatever they put Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence in together is gonna sell, right? So I sort of did have my doubts that there was gonna be like a big story, but there's a lot of story here. And other people have pointed out too, there's a lot of Kubrick about this whole thing, you know, like the bartender and the feel of like the hotel and like it could be a hotel kind of thing. There's a lot of things going on that I think could be interesting. And the trailer definitely got me into not just looking forward to seeing these two actors in a movie together, but actually looking forward to seeing what the big thing about the story is going to be. So very successful for me. And the movie doesn't come out until December 21st, which is just a couple of days after Rogue One, which is interesting too, because big movies in space going to be competing against each other a little bit. But I'm sure that Lawrence and Pratt are going to sell tickets.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them at all. I think they'll be just fine. well, moving on here, we are, well, so the idea of this is funny to me because we've seen a lot of like Arthurian legend stuff coming out. I guess it's like the age of English folklore because Jamie Dornan, who many of us will know from 50 Shades of Grey, is set to star in a new Robin Hood film. It's Robin Hood Origins, and he is going to be playing not Robin Hood, but Will Scarlet. He is a very well-known member of Robin Hood's Merry Men, and he's pretty hot-headed. And in this version, there's a little bit of a twist because he's actually Maid Marian's husband. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah. So there's a lot of interesting people attached to this film. Taron Egerton, who is in Kingsman, is going to be playing Robin Hood. Jamie Foxx is set to play Little John. And Eve Hewson will be playing Maid Marian. So this is kind of, you know, I don't like Robin Hood. I would watch this. How do you feel about this?
I don't know how I feel about this. You know what's funny is I remember when Jamie Dornan was on Once Upon a Time back in the day, people thought he was going to be Robin Hood. You know, that's obviously not who he ended up being. He was the huntsman. But there were a lot of early theories that that was going to be the big reveal of his character. So I think it's funny that he sort of landed himself in an adjacent role to that all these years later. But I mean, I kind of feel about Robin Hood like I feel about King Arthur, that there's too many damn remakes, but at least there aren't quite as many Robin Hood ones.
That's right.
It's okay. Like it doesn't excite me that much, this particular story. Like I feel like Disney did it best with the foxes and everything was kind of let down.
That was a good one. You didn't like the BBC Robin Hood? I liked it up until the third season when things started going not the way I liked. But I thought it was pretty good.
Jonah Armstrong was great in that. something about the story. I mean, it's not that they can't change it, but something about the parameters of the story being pretty set. It, and more so than King Arthur, because I feel like there's more leeway with that story than there is with the Robin Hood story. Makes it feel too like it's following the same beat every time.
You actually make a good point, because it's very cut and dry. You can't do too much with it, with like as you can with Arthur, which can be reimagined in like almost any sense since he's like just being reincarnated. You know, I'm going to stay optimistic because the cast is pretty good, and I'll be interested to see like kind of more details come out about this, because we are not getting too much here apart from the fact that there's a tiny little twist with the whole Marian not being right, with Robin Hood thing. So
I love triangle.
Revolutionary. But you never know. You never know. They could surprise us. So no release date for this new Robin Hood, but we'll keep you posted about the ongoings of this production.
Right. So from a forest to a jungle, I don't know, from Jamie Dornan to Jumanji, I don't know, pick your transition and let's move on. Here's an interesting story. There's been some new information coming out about the Jumanji reboot. No, not reboot, sorry. Sequel with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, including an image that has the lead characters or the lead cast members, Kevin Hart and Jack Black and Karen Gillan. And Karen Gillan's bare stomach, and Karen Gillan's bare legs, and Karen Gillan's weird bra thing on top of her shirt. There has been some controversy, largely started by me, about Karen Gillan's costume being outrageous next to her three male co-stars, who are all, of course, fully dressed. She's standing in the middle of the jungle looking like Lara Croft in the 1994 video game, or whenever that came out. And it's sparked some interesting debate online, actually, because obviously a lot of people feel the same way, while others say, well, it's not sexist, it's just a costume. And it's something like she is actually like an avatar of a 90s video game. So it's quote-unquote makes sense. And I just wanted to bring this up, and I wondered what you thought about it, because I think what's sort of interesting to consider here, especially sort of in the face of all the backlash that I have received about it, is that it's not that you can't put women in sexy clothes. Like, no one is saying that. But I think when you have an image like this of her being almost naked, you know, in a glorified bikini next to three men who are sort of just dressed casually, I do think it creates an imbalance, especially when she has been described as like, quote unquote, the girl of the film. And I'm sort of very disappointed with that, even if they have found a way to justify it in the narrative, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that it kind of pours salt into open wounds, because when she was announced as having joined the cast, Dwayne Johnson had a lot of nice things to say about her, but unfortunately they were tainted by the fact that he said, we had to find the girl, which completely took you out of the whole thing. Like, he could have just said, like, you know, like, we had to find the right person to come into this cast, and we had to find somebody that could hold their own against like these big personalities, which like there are a lot of big personalities, and that's like a big compliment to say, like, oh, Karen Gillan, who is not very well known in American audiences, can hold her own against seasoned comedic actors and can do this and that, and she's a badass and blah blah blah. But the whole idea of like, oh, we had to find a girl, it's just awful. And right. I think that coupled with this, it kind of raises eyebrows and concerns for people that were already not too happy with the way that she was announced because of that, because it's like, well, you had to find the girl, and I guess the girl's role is just to look like this. So I think that is like the issue. But there is also the possibility that this is just one still, and she changes wardrobe absolutely later. So, yeah, that's basically where I stand on this. I'm kind of hoping that, like, not necessarily that the costume makes sense for the whole time, but that maybe she switches out into something else. Obviously, like, when they found Robin Williams in the jungle, when he was playing Alan Parrish in the first one, like, he was dressed in, like, jungle garb, and it's not even comparable because he was pretty covered up except for, like, his legs and arms. But I guess there is a possibility that she could be, like, an Alan Parrish type character.
But I think the problem is that she's not dressed for the jungle. Like, I think that one of the biggest problems with her costume is that if this was, like, quote-unquote real, like, she would be covered in mosquito bites, like, all right. over herself, like, oh, and be, her legs would be scratched out by the underbrush. Yeah. Like, I get it's not supposed to be that realistic because she's, like, literally taken out of a video game or whatever they're saying that she is, but that just makes me feel like it's pixels all over again, which really doesn't help, you know, like, that's not a comparison you
no
want.
I'm just kind of yeah, I don't know, like, maybe, like I said, maybe she switches outfits later on, but...
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Very possible.
But you're right, like, in a practical sense, she, like, the boots are, like, that's, like, not a big deal at all. It's the fact that, like, everything else is, like, showing it's not very safe in terms of gallivanting around in the brush and stuff. And you can see that in comparison to, like, the way everyone else is dressed. Like, everybody else has, like, pants on, at least, like...
And that's, like, I think that's kind of the point that I was trying to make, too, is that, okay, she's still the only girl, so it still wouldn't be totally okay, but I probably would not have taken issue with it at all if Dwayne Johnson was also shirtless, or Kevin Hart, or Jack Black, or anyone. Like, there's three fully clothed men and one girl in a glorified bikini. That's the picture I'm seeing, and that does not make me happy. And whatever the movie sort of gives you as a reason for that, except for if the thing that happens after this picture is taken is that she rips his shirt off and puts it on herself, then that's okay.
Or maybe you know maybe I mean? They clothe her or something. But you know, it's the it's kind of like the, you know, the rule in fashion is that you have to, like, you either want to show, like, chest or you show leg, you don't show both. So it just would have made more sense if she had at least had, like, full pants on and was showing, like, midriff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
She even breaks the rule of fashion.
There you go. Nothing
I don't is
know.
Right with this.
It's no. such a tough situation, and I get it. But you know what? At least people that are, like, anti, like, running around in the woods in heels will be happy that she's wearing flats. So she'll be able to get away. So, silver lining.
But anyway, yeah, it's fun to bring up and it's fun to sort of continue the discussion. I was very enlightened by the responses that, like, the negative responses we got to bringing it up, because it's always interesting to see the people that don't like this kind of thing being noticed and commented on, because it's like, you know, it does show, I think it shows a kind of, like, fear that the world is changing and that we can actually go and say, you know what, if she's going to be half naked, then the guys have to be half naked, or otherwise put in two more girls and then it's fine. You know, like, we just need, and it's just a movie and it's probably not high art, but we can still come in and make these comments and say, you know what, this looks like it's 20 years outdated, and maybe that's the point, but it's not a very good point. So yeah, so basically I just wanted to bring it up and we can continue the conversation as we learn more related to this Dwayne Johnson, who is great, by the way. His alarm clock is awesome. I wish him all the best. He's announced four new actors, or four sort of minor, he calls them Jumanji juniors, which I guess means they won't have as big of a role. It's Sir Darius Blaine, Madison Eisman, and why does he just mention two of them?
I don't know, but I just want to know how.
Why?
I just want to know how Nick Jonas is getting injected into this whole situation.
Why is he not in the picture? I didn't even realize.
Oh, I've been waiting. I need to know. Not that I'm a huge Nick Jonas fan. I'm just very curious about where his casting comes into play.
Interesting. Anyway, Morgan Turner and Nat. And Alex, hold on. Why is this so confusing? Nat and Alex. Wolf.
That's Nat Wolf's brother. They share a handle on Instagram.
Okay.
Nat Wolf from The Fault in Our Stars.
So it's one of them.
Yeah, it's probably. Yeah, it's one of them.
It's probably,
I don't know,
Alex.
One. Maybe. Yeah. So
who
there
knows?
You go, Alex Wolf.
It's a mystery. There's a lot of stuff going on with this movie. That's interesting. But we will see what comes of this. We will keep you informed.
All right. Well, moving on. If you are a fan of Netflix's original content, then you are in luck because Deadline is reporting that they're very interested in creating more of that. And specifically, they would really like to feature more original content than, you know, content that is not their own. And that is very exciting because they've been really hitting it out of, knocking it out of the park when it comes to things like Stranger Things and Daredevil and Jessica Jones and stuff like that. The only problem is that if this does happen, it most likely will come with a hike increase in terms of prices, which nobody ever really likes. And they, according to this report, Netflix has been under pressure from their investors who say they aren't charging enough already. So that makes for a very interesting dynamic, basically. But it turns out that they are looking into a tiered pricing plan instead of just a flat rate, which is what they have right now. So they could start implementing that in order to make sure they're able to fund all of these like new projects and things like that. But I think that anytime, you know, a studio that's doing really well, like wants to create more original content, I think I'm all for that as a consumer, because
yeah,
so often we get things that are regurgitated over and over and over again. And at least Netflix is doing, you know, more along the lines of original stuff. So and it's been really interesting to see kind of the things that they've greenlit, because it's anything from like Adam Sandler movies. They have a 4-movie deal with him, to things like Stranger Things. So they really kind of have their hands in a lot of different places. And mm-hmm. I'm always excited to see what they put out. So.
Yeah, and of course, like by original, we might still be talking Marvel shows or adaptations or remakes or like twists on old stories and stuff. Like, you know, it just means that they don't just want to take content from other providers, which actually also is interesting, because aside from it hiking up the price, it might also mean down the line that we will lose some of the other networks' content. Like, the more original Netflix gets, it'll be interesting to see if other networks are going to be like, well, you're not going to stream our shows if you have your own show. You know, like, there might be some stuff going on with that down the line that we have to watch out for. But for now, it's a great mm-hmm. incentive. Netflix shows are doing amazingly well. They would be stupid not to focus more on that.
Right. And I mean, like, that just kind of opens the market for things like Hulu, Amazon Prime to kind of swoop in and acquire those rights to stream shows that are not, you know, under the Netflix original blanket.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I just want the streaming thing to open worldwide, to make this bullshit of having to wait or unblock or whatever stop, because it's very annoying. So whatever, at least I can watch the Netflix stuff straight away. And moving on to something that I want to watch straight away, like yesterday, we reported on Hypeable a few days ago that ABC is working on a reboot of Magnum P.I. It's going to be female-centric, and it's going to follow Thomas Magnum's daughter, Lily. It will take place in Hawaii, like the original Magnum P.I., and funnily enough, like Hawaii 5-0 currently does. She will take over the PI firm, and Deadline reports the story and writes, she and her tribe of friends mix tropical beaches with the seedy underbelly of international crime and modern espionage, even as she tries to unravel the mystery of the blown spy operation that ended her career in Navy intelligence. So basically, yeah, it's Hawaii 5-0 meets Alias, but it's also Magnum P.I. with a girl, and it all sounds wonderful. I'm super stoked for this. Are you also?
Yeah, I mean, I'm down. It sounds like a badass lady getting things done, so I'm into it. But I don't know very much about Magnum P.I., to be honest with you, so I think some people have, like, really strong ties to this, and that, mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. So I would just be coming into this with, like, fresh eyes, basically.
Yeah, which is cool. It just sounds like a cool thing. I was going to say I'm not going to say it's a shame, because I love it, but it's a shame that Melanie Scorfano from Wynonna Earp already has a job, because she would be perfect for this. Like, if you ever, like, look up some pictures, she would just be so good. But I guess she already has a pretty sweet gig, and I wouldn't want her to lose that, so whatever. No, it should be fun. It's probably going to be a procedural, so I don't actually know how into it I will be, but I will definitely give it a shot because it sounds amazing. And yes, we need more female reboots of stuff, so this is cool.
All right, well, this is not a reboot, but a revival. Fuller House Season 2.
What's even the difference anymore?
Fuller House Season 2, you guys, it's coming, and it's coming way sooner than we all thought, which is awesome if you were a fan of the first season, as I was. We can expect new episodes of Fuller House to hit Netflix beginning December 9th. And on top of this awesome news, if you're a fan of the series, they also released this great key art for the series, and it's just, like, beautiful and autumnal. And like you see all of the Tanner Fullers here, and they're seated on Alamo Square Park, which is like one of my favorite parts of San Francisco. And you can see the Painted Ladies in the background, and My Beautiful City looks amazing, and it's just great. I have so much love for San Francisco, you guys. It's actually kind of a problem. Like, nobody should love their hometown as much as I do. But anyway, this poster is really great, and this is great news if you're a fan of this show, and I'll be tuning in. I'm very excited. I think I tweeted on Twitter that I feel like my holiday plans are set between Gilmore Girls in November and Fuller House in December, so shaping up to be a good holiday season.
That's awesome. Okay, so we have a final news story that we had to add to the doc because it's very relevant to our interests, and I just want to say, like, full disclosure, I told Pam about this news story right before the show, and and I'm so disappointed that I didn't wait to get her reaction on air. So Pam, I want you, you know, I'm going to say the headline, and I'm going to just have you reenact your reaction.
All right.
So that people can get, you know, the full experience, right? Okay, so Colin Morgan of Merlin fame has joined the Oscar Wilde biopic titled The Happy Prince.
What? That was basically
that's it.
That was what? And then Selena said, yes. Colin Morgan has joined an Oscar Wilde biopic. And I said, how did I not know about this?
I know.
And then she proceeded to tell me the rest of the story, which you will be doing for listeners. So please proceed.
I will. Yes. So this is, I mean, first of all, we don't yet know what role he's playing, and we're trying to figure it out because obviously that's kind of important. He's joining the cast of the Oscar Wilde biopic titled The Happy Prince it's by Rupert Everett, and he's going to star in it with Colin Firth. And I don't even know which of them. I'm assuming Rupert Everett, just based on looks, is going to be Oscar Wilde in his final days. And it's Oscar Wilde lying on his deathbed, looking back over his life, and taking viewers back in time to experience some of those, I mean, both amazing memories, you know, he was obviously an Irish poet and author and playwright who created some fantastic works like The Importance of Being Earnest and The Picture of Dorian Gray. But he was also, you know, a homosexual in the time in the 19th century, in the time when that was obviously, I mean, you all know that wasn't a thing that they wanted you to be back then. So when it was discovered that he had an affair with Lord Alfred Douglas, he was imprisoned and has served 2 years of hard labor. And, you know, the experience just and the humiliation and all of that just changed him forever. And he left England and Ireland for France and never returned. And it was just a big tragedy. His story is one that deserves to be told, and I'm actually a little bit surprised. I mean, I know it's not like there hasn't been stuff, but I'm kind of surprised it's been this long before a fairly big, high-profile biopic is being put together, and I'm so stoked that Colin Morgan is a part of it. And now I'm very curious what role he's playing, because obviously, I mean, Colin Morgan himself is Irish, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but he could in theory be playing a young Oscar Wilde in this. He looks enough like him that it makes sense.
I think so. I just looked it up. Well, I mean, not that anybody can't change their accent. Oscar Wilde was from, like, Dublin, and Colin Morgan's from up north, so I would definitely not be, like, playing anybody from, like, his side of Ireland. But you're right. If you're looking back on Oscar Wilde's life, he could potentially be portraying a young Oscar Wilde. He could also be portraying one of Oscar Wilde's lovers. I think he had two, including Douglas, and both of them were a little bit younger than him. For those of you that don't know, Wilde died when he was in his mid-40s, and his lovers were about like 15 years younger than him, which is about Colin's age, so that would make sense to you. And Douglas specifically spent a lot of time with him in his final months in Paris. I think it's really interesting. Have you read The Happy Prince?
No.
Okay, I took a class on Oscar Wilde at university. It's a short story, so if anybody's interested in reading it, I highly recommend it. I'm pretty sure like a lot of Oscar Wilde books and tales and things like that are available for free on Kindle. So if you're interested in like reading more of his stuff, I would highly recommend you head over there and like see what you can dig up. But it basically tells this story of the Happy Prince is a statue that like is in the middle of this town, and everybody just kind of dotes upon the Happy Prince because he's beautiful and he's made of gold and he's got this sword with a ruby in the hilt and he's got two sapphires for eyes, and people always say like, oh, I wish I could be happy all the time like the Happy Prince. And then this little swallow comes in and he's just passing through on his way to go south for the winter, and he decides that he's going to nest at the feet of the Happy Prince because he would have like a house of gold. And he thinks it starts raining, but it turns out that the Happy Prince is actually crying and he wants to know why. And he says that, you know, all day long I sit here and I look at the town and it's like full of people that are sad and they're hungry and they're poor, and all he basically wants is to like help the town. And so he like sends the swallow on a mission, and you know, he sees like this woman in her house and she's really poor, but her son is like really sick and all he wants is like some oranges or something like that. And so he asks the swallow to take one of the gems out of his statue to give it to the woman so that she could buy food for her sick son, and it kind of goes on from there. And so basically, it the idea of it mirrors Wilde's life, because you know, he was very well known and he was respected, and then all of a sudden he kind of tumbled down into kind of nothing. He was left destitute, and so is the Happy Prince. After he gives away all of the materialistic things that make him beautiful, he just is left as a piece of iron, and the town has no need for him anymore. So they end up melting him down because he's not beautiful. No. Yeah, there is like one of the...
I'm sorry, I got really attached to this statue.
It is beautiful. You should read it. I'm not even doing it justice. I'm just kind of giving you guys an overview.
I kind of want you to just tell me the whole story.
Well, it's basically like really enthralling. Basically, the swallow is only supposed to stay for the night. He stays three nights, and in those three nights, he gives away the ruby that's at the hilt of the Happy Prince's sword and the two sapphires that he has for eyes. And he doesn't want to give away the princess eyes because he says after he does that the prince will be blind. But after he does that to help other people in the town that the prince is like looking at, that the swallow says, I'll stay with you always and I'll be your eyes.
Oh no.
And so he sits there and he tells the prince about the ongoings of the town, and there is one of the most beautiful Oscar Wilde lines is in this tale, and it goes, there is no mystery so great as misery, which is just like quintessential Oscar Wilde. It's like, it's beautiful. And basically what happens is that the swallow can't live in the winter. That's why he's meant to go south. But because he stays with the prince, he ends up dying.
And oh my God.
And so they kind of die together, and they, the mayor comes over and they take down the statue of the Happy Prince because he's not beautiful anymore. And he says, look, even like birds are dying at his feet. This is awful. And the only thing that does not melt down is, his lead heart, which is split down the middle. And so he says, we'll just get rid of it. And so they toss the heart and the body of the swallow, kind of away. And then God kind of lends a hand, and he tells one of his angels to bring him the two most beautiful things in this town, and he brings him the heart of the happy prince and the body of the swallow.
Oh my
and
God.
Then they live together in happiness and eternal life. And the story time with Pam.
That is yay. That was so beautiful.
It's definitely worth a read. Like I said, it's very short, and I do not even do Oscar Wilde an ounce of justice. But considering that Oscar Wilde was, like I said, very highly decorated before this scandal where he was tried for being homosexual and then became broke and destitute and lived in squalor, basically, it's a fitting title, I think, because...
I think so,
yeah,
too.
So...
That's wonderful. I'm very, very, like, already was super intrigued by this, but now I'm even more intrigued. That was just wonderful. I'm like, I feel like we should stop the show now. Like, there's no need to go on.
So there's your Oscar Wilde lesson for the day.
Yeah, so I feel like we should do this every time. Like, just pick a story and have you retell it, and that's wonderful. And I'm, like, crying over here. No big deal.
It's beautiful. Like, it really... Every time I think about this story, it just, like, tugs at my heart because it really kind of teaches you the value in not necessarily keeping riches for yourself, but helping others in need. And it's really nice.
And it's interesting. And I'm glad that someone like Rupert Everett is the one who is doing this. Like, he's directing it, he's starring in it, and he's obviously homosexual himself. And he has been an out gay man through years when... I mean, not the 19th century, it was counting centuries now, but at a time when that was, like, less okay than it obviously is today. And I feel like it's very interesting to see what his take on it is going to be. And also starring are Edwin Thomas, Emily Watson, Tom Wilkinson, Miranda Richardson, Beatrice Dell, and John Standing. So all around interesting. I have not read The Happy Prince. I have read The Student Prince, which is, you know, slightly related.
You're my favorite all the time.
But with that wonderful, wonderful tale, we have reached the end of the news. We will keep you updated as we learn more about the Oscar Wilde biopic and everything that's going on with that. Maybe this will be our Colin Morgan interview.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
We will see. I feel like we should send that story, like, the pitch for the interview, like, have you tell that story.
And just, like, crying over here by myself because it's so beautiful. Yes. And then you going,
exactly.
Oh.
I feel like that really, you know, sets the tone of our show really
basically.
Well. Very representative.
We feel the feels.
we feel the feels. Four feels by feels. I don't know, something like that. So we're going to move on to TV show of the week now. We've watched a bunch of the new pilots. I feel like we're kind of keeping on with the pilots, but it makes sense because it is pilot season. And we know that a lot of you guys are going to be wondering what to watch and what not to watch. So we're hoping that our sort of ongoing commentary can help you decide. And I have two, and I think, Pam, you kind of have the same, and then you have a different one. So I'm going to go first, and then we can move on. So I watched, actually, I have three. God. So I watched the pilot for This Is Us, the pilot for The Good Place, and the pilot for Pitch. I know we've talked about Pitch a lot, so I'm just going to keep this short. This is amazing. This was so good. Everything about Pitch was amazing. The Good Place is interesting, and I feel like we should spend a little bit more time talking about it because I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it yet. I know you really like it.
I really liked the pilot at Comic-Con. I did not watch the... I think they ran the first two episodes. I haven't seen the second episode yet. But if you're interested, just like kind of a little bit of a side note in what the creator and the director had to say, we did interview them at Comic-Con. So head on over to Hypeable and check out kind of their views on this, which I think... it's very interesting, and because I saw a lot of people on my Twitter talking about how they didn't really like the idea of the heaven that they were portraying, but
right
when
well we should explain sort of just to keep people's heads straight, like The Good Place is the pilot starring Kristen Bell. It's from Mike Schur, the creator of Parks and Recreation, and it's basically a woman who goes to heaven, not heaven, the good place instead of the bad place, even though she's actually not supposed to be there. So her presence kind of creates problems in the good place that all of these sort of good people now have to deal with.
Right. And I think that this is why it's worth just kind of like looking up some of the things that Mike Schur had to say about this, because he was very adamant at Comic-Con when he explained that he knows that people are going to want to try and find correlations between like the traditional ideas of heaven and hell in their afterlife. And those were not factors that they took into consideration when they were creating this. So it's not necessarily heaven and hell more as just a place you go after you die. Like, I guess you could see it that way if you want to, but that was not the intention of the creators when they wrote it. And when they were researching kind of what they wanted this afterlife to be like, they didn't really take like the idea of traditional religion into consideration. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Unfortunately, at Comic-Con, you don't have too much time to delve into things like that, but I think it would be worth it if you're like really interested in like kind of how they went about like forming this story for you to read some more in-depth interviews in terms of what they had to say. So,
oh, for sure. Definitely. And I did think it was good. I mean, I'm a huge Kristen Bell fan, so I was sort of really happy to see her. And I think it sets up some interesting conflicts. I'm wondering how long it can go on for, you know, how long they can keep up their pace and premise. But for now, it was very enjoyable. It was very lighthearted. And I'm definitely going to check back. It's caught me, so to speak. This Is Us is another pilot. I'm probably the one I'm the least sure about if I'm going to continue to watch out of the four. I also watched Queen Sugar that I talked about last week. This is the one that follows a group of people that all share the same birthday, and Mandy Moore and Jess? What's his
Milo
name?
Milo Ventimiglia.
That's right. They play a couple. Their chemistry, everything about them was probably my favorite part, probably the reason that I'm going to keep watching, if I'm going to keep watching. It's a really good pilot. It's a really interesting idea. I just kind of saw it coming, you know? Like, I did not, because I know there was some talk that there was like a big twist or something. I sat through the whole episode waiting for a twist that didn't come, because I thought that the premise kind of was laid out from the start. Like, I feel like there's some stuff. Like, and I'm trying not to give anything away, but I almost feel like there isn't. I mean, obviously people disagree about this, but I almost feel like there isn't anything to give away, because the show made it so blatantly obvious what was going on. There were clues all over the place in the way they were speaking and in visual clues and everything, that by the time we got to the end, I was like, is this it? Is that what they've been setting up for this big emotional moment that wasn't? I only feel like something can be a twist if it legitimately wasn't signposted to the extent that the twist in This Is Us was signposted. So that was super disappointing to me. But what will probably keep me watching is, I'm very curious, as with The Good Place, how they are going to keep this up week to week, because now that the cat's out of the bag, I am wondering what the point is, in a way. And I was wondering that as I was watching it, the pilot, because I was like, well, okay, that's how it is. How are they going to move it on from there once the quote unquote reveal is out of the way? So I'm a little bit more skeptical of it. And maybe it was just my disappointment with the twist or whatever. I don't know how you felt about this one.
We talked a lot about This Is Us is one of the most highly anticipated pilots of the season, and I really enjoyed it. But because we talked about this a lot on our TV special, and I specifically asked Kyle like if he thought that the premise could keep going, like you, I kind of have some skepticism as to how long they can actually keep this interesting. Mm-hmm. Not to say that like just a peek into people's lives is not interesting, but just because we did hear about this big twist for so long, I think I was expecting more as well. I think that in comparison, the pitch
the pitch and twist.
The twist and pitch.
The twist and shout.
More,
yeah.
I didn't see that one coming. Right.
The pitch twist, and that's what I it's such a good comparison too, because that was a twist that was so elegantly done. You were so misled that you didn't, maybe some people did. I did not see the twist coming, and you could sort of go back and see everything in a new light and realize, oh my God. But with This Is Us, it was all pointing, to me, it was all pointing that way. There was nothing like, and I feel like so much of the pilot was set up around the twist, like, because in Pitch, it was about something else. The twist came as like an additional little thing, but This Is Us pilot was built up around misleading people. And A, I felt insulted because I wasn't misled. And B, now they're just people. Like, now it's literally, like you said, now it's literally just a glimpse into people's lives. Are they interesting enough people that we're going to bother is going to be my question.
I am compelled, and This Is Us, I am compelled a little bit by, is it Kate? She's the overweight, the severely overweight woman.
Yeah, Kate.
I'm compelled by her storyline, but I'm also kind of like, because I'm a terrible person, I'm waiting to see if they just fall into the pits of like how... like obese people are portrayed in the media, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would actually, this is going to sound awful, but I would actually like to see if she does, like, she could obviously like find happiness as she is, which would be awesome. But I'm wondering if they would actually have a storyline where she loses some weight, because obviously when you have an actress or an actor on TV, we've seen this so many times before, like Lost and everything, you know, they are the way they are and they're not going to change like necessarily for a TV show. Like, why would they? So I'm just wondering how that's going to go, because it's so clearly set up that she, and we've, I mean, I'm sure I feel like this. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Why can't I not just lose the weight that I want to lose? Why is it so hard? And I legitimately feel like sometimes, like her story sort of did kind of hit me in that way. I was like, well, when am I finally going to stop procrastinating on this and just doing it, you know? So that's why I'm sort of very invested in whether she will or how that story is going to play out, because if that is her character, and that is her character, that's all she is so far, where are they going to go with that?
Right.
I will say the storyline, my favorite storyline was the one with Manny.
Oh yeah, that
I
was
really
great.
Liked that
and that
one.
Random like Alan Thicke guest star. That was great.
But that ended too. So like, what the hell? What's going to happen? Like, I'm really
maybe,
not sure.
I guess
what's
that's why we're all going to have to keep watching. But they've hooked us. But yeah, I think I am with you in terms of the fact that everybody kept saying the twist, and then the twist happened, and I was like, but this has nothing on Pitch, you
that's
guys.
It?
Like, and that was therein lies the problem, because I screened the Pitch pilot first, and I caught This Is Us later when it ran on TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And again, as I said, I've said this before, the brilliance of a twist like Pitch, like they understand that's not what the point, the show doesn't hinge on whether or not you figured it out. And I think when you're watching, like whenever you have a story like This Is Us, like every time I'm expecting a twist like this. And I was in a way kind of glad that they finally did it, because I'm always disappointed when something like this doesn't happen. But again, as I said, the clues were there if you wanted to see them. So it was a little bit like... Pitch just did it better is what I'm trying to say. And just going back to Pitch for a brief second, because, you know, TV special 2.0. There was nothing not to love about that pilot. Like, that is literally the perfect pilot. And unlike This Is Us, because I know Pitch has been getting some, like, is this going to be able to go on, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like now I am interested in learning more about these people. I'm interested in seeing the dynamics between them. I'm interested in seeing how the relationships will form and what kind of tensions that will be from having a girl on the team and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just super, super stoked for it. It's probably the one, my favorite of the pilots, closely followed by Queen Sugar. And you have all the same ones I did, and another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I was going to just very briefly mention, and we don't have to go too far into this, that I started watching Supergirl again, and I'm really glad I picked it up, because it got a lot better than, like, the first two episodes.
Oh, nice.
I dropped it, like, very quickly, because I just got really bored, like, I think,
same.
Like, three episodes in, and I was
too.
Like, I can't do this. But I powered through like fourth and fifth, and then after that, it's been a really enjoyable watching experience. So if you, like me, dropped it because you got bored, give it another chance. And you could probably like say, this is so awful to say, but if it's really that bad, you could probably skip to like episode 5 and be fine, and you could enjoy like the pickup, mm-hmm. I guess. So yeah, and I can't even remember why I stopped watching it. That's the best part about picking it back up. Like, I can't remember what it was aside from boredom. But it is possible, too, because it premiered in September, that was when the show started taking... They always take breaks around the middle of, middle to end of September because of, like, football, and then you have fall baseball and things like that. So mm-hmm. It's possible that it was just like, very easy to drop it because I was so bored.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like a show that I would like, but I have a problem with these superhero shows. Like, aside from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which came back, by the way, I watched the first episode of season 4. It was awesome. I have too many shows to watch again. It's great. But Supergirl, it just felt too... It was just like too... And then I did watch the ones with the Flash in them. I did watch the crossover, and I enjoyed them, but it just felt too glossy for me. So I will, but now that it's on the CW and everything, like, I do want to pick it up, and Katie McGraw is going to be in it. Like, there's a lot of reasons to get excited for it again. So I might do the same as you and try to catch up with it.
And then very quickly, I just remembered that I also screened the pilot for Speechless, which is ABC's new sitcom with Minnie Driver. And you know about this one, right? She's got the son with cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. and he's in the wheelchair and stuff like that. And it was really great. I would highly recommend, if you're interested in the show, to also head over to Hypeable and read our writer Brooke Wentz's thoughts on this, because she is also in a wheelchair, and she just brings like a completely different perspective to something like this that I could like never do with somebody that like mm-hmm. is not close to anybody with special needs or has, you know, spent a lot of time with anybody in that situation. As far as the pilot goes, it was really fun and it was really enjoyable. And it's really nice to see, Hollywood thinking outside the box and casting somebody that actually, you know, does have the same disabilities as this character does. So
absolutely. I agree. That was our supersized TV show of the week, you guys. We hope that you enjoyed that. So I think, kind of to sum up all the shows we talked about, This Is Us, The Good Place, Pitch, Supergirl, and Speechless. So you can check out all of those on television or streaming services or however you watch TV, and let us know what you think about them. We're very curious to hear which of these pilots connected best with our listeners, and we do actually have a little bit of feedback on that that we're going to get to in a bit. Listener feedback is coming up next to round off the show, and we're going to start with an email from Shauna. Do you want to get that one, Pam?
Sure. Shauna says, "Hi, completely agree with everything you said about LGBT representation in the Harry Potter books. But for me, the Dumbledore is gay always felt very ingrained in canon. I always had to wait for the Dutch translation, not Danish, and therefore already knew Dumbledore was gay before I ever read Deathly Hallows. I never saw his relationship with Grindelwald as anything but romantic. That said, it doesn't excuse anything, and I hope future rolling writing does better. XOXO Shauna." And this is in regards to our mini Harry Potter discussion last week, where we talked about throwaway representation, speak. So,
and you know what's so interesting about this is that I read Deathly Hallows before the news came out. So obviously the first time I read it, I had no idea. The second time I read Deathly Hallows, I totally agree. The relationship with Grindelwald, well, his feelings for Grindelwald, I suppose, were definitely romantic. And that was evident reading it the second time because of J.K. Rowling's comments. I think my problem is that it's only evident because of J.K. Rowling's comments. And it's fine that she's said it and she's clarified, but it's not in the book. It's inferring. And like... I'm so happy she said it. It's not that. But like you said, you know, you hope that she does better in future. I hope that she would actually have the quote-unquote courage to put it in one of her books. You know, he has feelings for another man, or he, you know, whatever. Like, some, like, make it explicit in the text. Don't leave it to to interpretation.
Right, because at the end of the day, well, I'm in the same boat that you are in, first of all, but at the end of the day, it's really sad that all we have to go on with these, like, you know, bigger popular novels is the fact that we can infer. We have to infer. We have to say, we right. know, but it's not in black and white. It's not there in
right.
in
like a, Hannibal and Merlin and all those shows like that. Right. It's the same
It's thing. Always after. Isn't that funny? Like, yeah. after yeah. Merlin ends, does... Do the what is it, the Johnny say, oh yeah, it was yeah. love.
Yeah, the Julian, the Julians.
The Julians, John, the like Julians, that,
yeah.
that's right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's great. And it's the same for Hannibal. And it's nice to have that because you can see it on screen. You can be like, yeah, that's for sure what it is. But it's not what it is, you know, not really. And that's, I think that's kind of the distinction. But I mean, it's a great point, Shanna. And I think, I mean, at least it's kind of like, quote unquote, at least there's that. But It's less than the bare minimum, I would say, which is unfortunate. Moving on to tweets now. We already covered the Patronus responses, but I did just want to get a few more in here because they sent them in like just after we finished our Patronus discussion. So Kieran said that she got a dapple gray stallion, but she missed answering the first question, so she doesn't fully accept it as your Patronus. I think, you know, when you take too long, I think that counts in your result, but I don't know.
It does because I missed one in mine mm-hmm. Because I yeah. was thinking too long, but it yeah. all comes down to like the way you're processing things. So maybe
right,
it does.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. Like we had someone, I think it was maybe Ultron and Hyperbole, who was like, it's not fair because I take too long answering because I'm a very like methodical person. And I was like, well, that's probably what the test helps identify. I don't know. Katie Cardi Haley says, I took the Patronus quiz 10 times and only one animal was repeated, but with so many options, I guess that is to be expected. In the end, since I didn't love or hate any of my results, I decided to stick with the first one, Saint Bernard. And Nicole got a Basset Hound and her husband got an Irish Wolfhound. That is so cute. So there you go. I just didn't want you guys to feel like we didn't want to read your Patronus questions out loud. We just didn't get them in time. And general tweets. We have a lot of feedback. Do you just want to start going down the list?
Sure. Do you want to go back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first one here comes from Abby Lee, who says, I loved This Is Us and Pitch. Kyle was right about the twist at the end of This Is Us. I'm so excited for the whole season. Also, thank you for the Gilmore Girls season 5 episode that will keep me company while I clean today. I can't wait to hear all your thoughts.
Yay! I'm so glad so many people... I mean, and again, I was like so negative about This Is Us, but obviously a lot of people liked it, so I'm sorry. But I'm glad you liked it, and I'm excited too. Martha says, great fall TV lineup episode. You guys were right. This Is Us is outstanding. See, it's just raining praise for This Is Us.
Okay, Shelly said, this is a comment for Yumi and Marima. Just catching up on hype. Yes, please read A Wrinkle in Time. Such a classic. So I guess we know what our homework is.
We have to read it now. Thanks, Shelly. No, I'm kidding. We will read it now for sure. Laura Morrow says, thanks for the This Is Us rec. Oh my god, the best new show and that twist. Thanks again. Hope to hear your thoughts. Can you guys do a This Is Us special at some point? I think like the Stranger Things one, I'll just conveniently sit that one out. Why do I not like things that other people like? This is getting annoying.
You just
annoying.
Expect more and that's okay.
I guess so.
Travel Eaters says, a fall TV overview was good, but I kept having to remind to figure out which shows you were talking about. Please repeat show titles.
Yes.
And thank you for bringing this up. This is something that we're trying to do, but we'll
yeah,
have
if you noticed
hard.
This episode, I've
yeah.
tried.
And I will say also that we try really, like all of our show notes are written, at least the ones I do are in chronological order. So if you do miss something, and like, I know that rewinding is a pain, but you can like always reference that back. And for the TV special specifically, I tried to tease like what the shows were about too. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
That should hopefully help out. But again, we've had this comment and we are aware that we sort of move on a little bit too quickly sometimes. So we are doing our best to mention the things we just talked about before we move on to something else. And Bobby Incognito again says, thanks for discussing Queen Sugar. I always enjoy your take on things. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Rachel McCarthy says, thanks, Selena, for the shout out. I'm on season 2, and so I can't watch the next Gilmore Girls special, but yay, #bring back the Marima.
I know. Hashtag where's Merima?
Hashtag we miss Merima.
Yes. And the final tweet, it comes from Marie, who says, thanks for reading my long email. That was last week. I'm awaiting Sunday with a friend when a friend will have seen Cursed Child 2. Sorry, my weird last name. Haha. Yeah. Sorry, we butchered your last name last week. That's everything. That's all the comments that we got. So thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. Don't forget to send us your thoughts on everything we talked about this week, all of the movies and TV shows and news, as well as send your suggestions for other specials we can do. This Is Us special is a great idea. We're still plugging away on the Gilmore Girls specials. I started watching season 6 very slowly, but that should come at some point soon. We'll let you know on social media. You can get in touch with us in many different ways, including via email, which is hype@hypeable.com. On Twitter @HypeableHype, on Instagram @HypeableHype, on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, and on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. Leave your comment in the most recent episode post and we will find it and put it into the show next week. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful week until we speak to you again. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
That's it.
That's it. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. I'm always waiting for like one more name that never comes.
I know, we're so sad and lonely, but it's yes. Nice. We're carrying down, what is it? Manning the fort.
we're carrying down the fort. That's
we're carrying
sure.
down.
I feel like everyone just lost out on your wonderful retelling of that Oscar Wilde story. Like that was just so good.
Oh, and all the other hosts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like that's what they get for missing out.
Yeah, that's right. They miss story time with Pam.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Usually involves all my embarrassing run-ins with people of social clout, but now we got like some classic literature in there.
Yeah.
We got classy.